Is there anything more important than taking care of yourself? Everybody knows that when you're not feeling the best, you can't be your best. Well, that's where Sambucol comes in. Sambucol makes you feel better with powerful immune support, powered by nature's super fruit, the black elderberry. There's been a handful of mornings where I've woken up feeling rubbish, and Sambucol has given me that control back by supporting my immune system and making me feel better. It's not a chore to take Sambucol either because it tastes amazing, and my personal favourite is the syrups, but the gummies are wonderful as well. It's easy to incorporate Sambucol into your wellness routine. I personally take Sambucol each morning with my breakfast. Get 15% off your next order of $9.99 or more at sambucolusa.com. Use the promo code MORBID15 for 15% off. There's nothing more exciting than a classic whodunit. Well, this week's episode is sponsored by the amazing game June's Journey. It's a free-to-download mobile game, and you've got to find objects hidden within beautiful and carefully crafted scenes. June's Journey is set in the 1920s, and there's a real glamorous feel to it. You play the game as an amateur detective who is investigating a number of mysteries. Each scene sees you involved in a murder mystery, and you get to meet some cool characters along the way. Characters that provide tips and leads. What I love especially about this game is that it's super relaxing and therapeutic, but at the same time, it truly tests your observations and keeps your mind fresh. It really puts your powers of observation to the test. I find myself playing this game late at night before I head to bed. Ready to awaken your inner detective? Well, download June's Journey free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Welcome to Morbidology. I'm your host, Emily G. Thompson, author of Unsolved Child Murders, Cults Uncovered, Mysteries Uncovered, and co-author of Unsolved Murders, True Crime Cases Uncovered. Join Morbidology on Patreon for exclusive episodes of Morbidology Plus, exclusive merch, ad-free and early release episodes, and much more. Lisa Marie Nagle had always dreamed of becoming a reality star. In 2010, she hoped that these dreams would materialize when she was selected to compete in the controversial reality show Bridalplasty. The show, however, was hit with much criticism, and Lisa would return home to California and continue with her average life. In 2016, however, Lisa made the headlines across the nation when she vanished under very peculiar circumstances. It was around 7 p.m. on Saturday, the 17th of December, 2016, when 36-year-old Lisa Marie Nagle texted her husband, Derek Harriman, to let him know that she was going to attend a birthday party at Alpine Village Restaurant in Torrance, California, with her brother. At the time, Derek had been at work. He was a vessel operations superintendent at SSA Marine at the Port of Los Angeles. Lisa said to Derek that she only planned on staying for a few hours because she had to teach class at 7 a.m. the following morning at West Los Angeles College. Lisa was a registered nurse at Kaiser Permanente Medical Center, and she taught part-time nursing classes. After graduating from Pedro High School, she studied at UCLA. Lisa had been a contestant in the E! Television show Bridalplasty, which was a reality show featuring 12 brides who all moved into a mansion to compete for a dream wedding. In addition to that dream wedding, the winner also received a plastic surgery makeover. Lisa was eliminated in episode 7.
My name is Lisa Marie, and this is my fiancé, Derek. As a child, I was teased because of acne breakouts, and it still affects me till this day. So if there can be somebody that can come out of the little genie bottle and wave their little wand and change me, I'll be like, yes! I think the hardest part for me is going to be the fact that I'm going to be away from you so long. I'm sacrificing leaving my fiancé, who's so dear and important to me. It's hard. It's definitely hard, but, you know, it's for a good deed.
The series would receive much criticism for testing the boundaries of medical ethics, in which plastic surgery was awarded as a prize. Many felt as though it would encourage young women to get plastic surgery. And while there's nothing wrong with women getting plastic surgery at all, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons forbids surgeons from performing procedures as a prize in any contest. Due to the backlash, there was only one series, and Lisa never quite achieved the stardom she had dreamed about since a young girl. Then in July of 2011, Lisa and Derek were married, and Lisa focused her attention on her nursing career as well as her teaching career. Lisa and Derek had long wanted a family of their own, but they had struggled tremendously to conceive and had recently started attending a fertility clinic. They lived in the close-knit community of San Pedro. When Derek left work that night at around 2 a.m., he returned home to find that Lisa still hadn't arrived back home from the birthday party. He texted her to ask where she was and when she was coming home, and within a couple of minutes of sending the text message, Lisa called Derek. He said that she sounded very intoxicated, but sounded happy nevertheless. Lisa told Derek that she was going to stop and get some food and then return home. Derek said, "I even said to her, 'You sound like you've been drinking a lot. Are you okay?' And she said, 'I'm going to get food and then I'll be back home.'" Derek then went to sleep, assuming that his wife would return home shortly. But when he woke in the morning to watch football, he found that the couple's home was still empty. It was evident that Lisa hadn't returned home at all. According to Derek, he had assumed that Lisa had stayed overnight at her brother's place and had gone straight to work from there. Derek contacted Lisa's brother, Rafael Chavez, and was informed that he had never went to the birthday party with Lisa. Rafael informed Derek that Lisa had been picked up by a male friend who was a nursing student. According to this friend, Lisa had wanted to go to an after party, but he wasn't interested in the after party, so left Lisa there. This friend said he didn't know what Lisa did next or where she was. After finding out that Lisa had lied, Derek sent her a text message reading, "You didn't come home last night. This is unacceptable. You must be feeling horrible because you have to teach." Shortly thereafter, however, Derek received a phone call from one of Lisa's colleagues, who informed him that Lisa had never shown up to class that morning, and they couldn't get in contact with her. Derek said to KTLA, "Her missing work, not calling anybody, a million red flags." All attempts to phone Lisa went straight to voicemail. Derek would state, "Everybody is beyond frustrated, beyond worried. I'm flipping out. We're trying to have a baby. We are looking forward to starting a family." He said that he had attempted to hack into Lisa's Apple devices to try and activate her Find My Phone app, but he had been unsuccessful. Unable to track Lisa down and becoming increasingly worried about her safety, Derek and Lisa's brother Rafael went to police to report her missing. Since Lisa hadn't been missing for at least 72 hours, her family were informed by police that there was nothing they could do. At least not yet, anyway. Her family knew that the disappearance was completely out of character for Lisa and decided they would investigate on their own. They started a social media campaign. They shared her photograph as well as information regarding her disappearance on Facebook and Twitter and encouraged anybody who may have any information to please get in contact with investigators or Lisa's family. Her sister, Danielle Nagel Kaimona, said that the disappearance was completely out of character. She said that Lisa loved her husband and loved her family and would never just vanish without informing anybody where she was going. She said, "She's wild. She's fun. She's an outgoing, life-of-the-party girl for sure, but she always comes home and she never misses work." The missing person post went viral, in part because Lisa had been a reality star The male nursing student that Lisa had actually attended the party with would be identified as 34-year-old Jackie Jerome Rogers, who was one of Lisa's students. Lisa's family got in contact with Jackie to ask him about the night in question. Her family were upset with Jackie for leaving Lisa at a party alone while she was evidently drunk. However, a friend of the family who worked at the Alpine Village offered to let the family view surveillance footage to see if they could spot Lisa. As they watched the surveillance footage back, they spotted Lisa climbing in to a black SUV in the early morning hours of Sunday morning. It then captured Jackie climbing into the same vehicle alongside Lisa. Lisa's family contacted Jackie to confront him about the discrepancy in his story and the surveillance footage. He was questioned about the relationship between him and Lisa.
I'm not trying to be personal or weird, but are you more than just a friend?
We're like really close, like really, really close, yeah.
Close, like
I really like I really like her, you know.
Like
I'll
her.
I'll do anything for her. Like I'm dead serious. Like, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I did like her, you know. You know,
and
so.
And you're aware she's married, right?
Yeah, I know
okay.
She's married. Yeah.
And you're familiar with her husband?
Yeah.
When speaking with Jackie, Lisa's family became suspicious. Her sister Michelle would state, "When I started questioning him, he just seemed really antsy, kind of nervous." Jackie would change his version of events and claim that Lisa had climbed into his black SUV, but then climbed back out moments later at a gas station. During the conversation, Jackie made the startling claim that he and Lisa had been having an affair.
I'm going to get personal. Are you guys having relations?
Yeah, we have relations, yes.
Did Lisa make you think that she was going to leave her husband to be with you?
I didn't know what to think, but I knew that she was going through some stuff. I'm not saying like, oh, we're going to run off and get married and go to Las Vegas or stuff like that, you know, but I really liked that little connection that was there.
The family, understandably, became very suspicious of Jackie and feared that he knew more than he was letting on, so they contacted investigators. Her sister would speak with Inside Edition about the confrontation.
He was nervous. Antsy, nervous.
And you didn't believe him?
No. I couldn't even shake his hand when he came in.
Investigators would bring Jackie in for questioning and impound his black SUV. By the following day, there was a grim update in the case when investigators announced that they feared that Lisa had been killed. Her brother Raphael would state, "They gotta search this guy's house. We don't want to think the worst, but we don't know what he did with her. Hopefully, she is still alive and well." Investigators would arrest Jackie on suspicion of murder, and he was ordered to be held on $2 million bail. It would be revealed that when Jackie was brought in for questioning and presented with the evidence that he had left the party that night with Lisa, he confessed that he had killed Lisa and then buried her body in the yard of the home that he lived at with his parents, located on West 106th Street in Lenox. A press conference would be held.
The information he has provided has led them to believe that Lisa has been murdered and that her body is at Rogers' residence in Lenox.
Armed with the confession, investigators would get a search warrant for Jackie's home, and at around 4 p.m., they arrived at West 106th Street to search his home and excavate the yard. At around 6:30 p.m., they would unearth a woman's body, naked and face down, buried in a shallow grave. There was coagulated blood mixed with dirt on the back of the woman's head.
Investigators in the coroner's office have found the body of a female in a shallow grave at the residence. We do believe that it is our victim, Lisa Marie Nagel.
In announcing the grim discovery, police spokesman Sal Ramirez said, "We can confirm a body, which we believe is Lisa Marie, was discovered in a shallow grave at the suspect's home. The detectives strongly believe it is her." Do you ever wake up with bags under your eyes that just won't go away? Well, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of Americans. Until now. Introducing the new GenuCell Serum with plant stem cell technology for under eye bags and puffiness. It's a super smooth product that gives you that extra boost of confidence each morning. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. I guarantee it. For now, this is only available to my United States listeners. Supporting GenuCell also allows them to donate products each and every day to Women Rising, which assists women and their families to achieve self-sufficiency and live safe, productive, and fulfilling lives. Order now and save big on GenuCell's risk-free introductory offer. Just go to lovegenucell.com and enter my promo code MORBID10 for an extra 10% off. That's lovegenucell.com, LoveGenucel.com with the promo code MORBID10. According to investigators, they were working on the theory that Lisa had been having an affair with Jackie. During his interrogation, Jackie had told investigators that he and Lisa certainly had been having an affair, that they had been secretly meeting up for the past 6 months. He said that Lisa had come to his home that night and told him that she was planning on ending the relationship so that she could be with her husband. Jackie confessed to investigators that he had struck Lisa around 7 times on the head with a hammer. Lisa's loved ones would flock to social media to pay tribute. Derek posted on his Facebook account, "I love you so much, Lisa, and will never be the same without you. Until we meet again, baby cakes, my little flower. There will never be a day that goes by that I don't think of you, my beloved. Rest easy, my princess. I love you dearly." Lisa's family would set up a GoFundMe page, which would help them cover the cost of funeral expenses. It read in part, "I'm reaching out to everyone from near and far who would like to help us, the Nagel family, give my sister a proper burial. There are no words to express my appreciation to you, all who showed my family so much love and support. Thank you for your help. Any help will be appreciated. God bless you all. Que Dios los bendiga. Gracias. Love your sister, Michelle Nagel. Michi." The donations would come pouring in alongside tributes and condolences. One donor wrote, "May you rest in peace, Angel. Words cannot begin to describe this tragedy. Prayers to your family, friends, and our San Pedro family." As families across the world were preparing to celebrate the festive period, 2 days before Christmas, Jackie appeared in court, where he would be formally charged with the murder of Lisa. He was also charged with a special allegation that he had used a deadly weapon to commit the crime. Deputy Public Defender Joe Galano said that they needed more time following the holidays to assign a special deputy from his office to the case. Then early the following year, Jackie appeared in court where he pleaded not guilty to the murder of Lisa. He was ordered to return to court on the 2nd of March, when a date would be scheduled for a preliminary hearing. The purpose of the preliminary hearing would be to determine whether there was enough evidence to proceed to trial. At the preliminary hearing, the prosecution would call on 2 witnesses. Detective Scott Coffey and the pathologist who had conducted Lisa's autopsy. Detective Coffey would tell the courtroom that Jackie had made a full confession, claiming that he had killed Lisa in his SUV when a confrontation about their relationship turned sour. He said that while sitting in the car, he reached into his back seat to grab a hammer and struck Lisa in the head. After she slumped forward in the passenger seat, he struck her 3 more times. Waited for a few moments and then struck her 3 more times. From here, Jackie drove to his home, where he placed Lisa's lifeless body in a wheelbarrow and spent the next 45 minutes digging a shallow grave. Jackie commented that Lisa was too heavy for him to carry himself, hence the wheelbarrow. He admitted that before burying Lisa, he had struck her 2 more times with the hammer. Detective Coffey said, "He said Lisa was still breathing and he did not want to bury her alive. He had additionally said that Lisa was most likely still alive after being hit 8 times on the head with a hammer." It would be revealed that after confessing to killing Lisa, Jackie had cited an area on Google Maps to show investigators where they would be able to recover her body. As the gruesome details regarding Lisa's murder were read aloud, some of her loved ones left the courtroom in tears. Jackie's defense lawyer, Jay Tucson, wouldn't deny that he had committed the murder. However, he was putting forward the suggestion that it had been committed during a heat of passion and even tried to portray Jackie as a victim of emotional abuse at the hands of Lisa. He highlighted Jackie's confession, stating that he had said that Lisa was angry with him because he was late picking her up. Jackie had also claimed that Lisa told him that night that she didn't like what he was wearing, and shortly before Jackie attacked Lisa with the hammer, he claimed that Lisa had hit him and claimed that this was something she had done quite often in the past. According to defense Tucson, Jackie had simply snapped. Dr. Oatk Upko, who had conducted Lisa's autopsy, would testify that Lisa had been struck with the hammer at least 8 times to the head, which had caused fractures from the front of her skull all the way to the back, as well as bleeding and bruising to the brain. He said that any of these blows could have been fatal, adding that Lisa was alive as all of the blows were inflicted. He also testified that Lisa had a blood alcohol level of 0.117 and had evidence of cocaine in her blood system. It would be determined that there was enough evidence against Jackie, and he was ordered to stand trial for Lisa's murder in September of 2018. Since Jackie had confessed to the murder, the crux of the case wouldn't be whether he had committed the murder, but instead what degree of murder had been committed. During opening statements, Deputy District Attorney Allison Ostrowski said to the jury that the murder of Lisa had been premeditated. She revealed that a co-worker of Lisa had seen the murder weapon, a hammer, in Jackie's SUV on 2 separate occasions, around a month before the murder. She described the night in question, stating that Jackie and Lisa had stopped to get food at a restaurant near Jackie's home. They sat in his SUV across the street from the restaurant for around 30 minutes. The prosecution was claiming that in these 30 minutes, Jackie grabbed the hammer and hit Lisa over the head with it at least 8 times, completely shattering her skull. District Attorney Ostrowski said, "That 30 minutes is when she was killed." She said that after killing Lisa, Jackie had lied to her family and to her husband, claiming that he had left her alone at the party because she wanted to attend an after party, but ultimately would confess and tell where to find her body, buried underneath dirt and manure in the yard of his home. District Attorney Ostrowski then displayed graphic photographs of Lisa's nude body, face down in a shallow grave. She showed a photograph of Lisa's skull, shattered into pieces. She revealed before burying Lisa, Jackie had hit her with a hammer 2 more times. He had confessed that when he got Lisa out of his SUV, she was still breathing, and as he said, he didn't want to bury her alive. After burying Lisa, Jackie disposed of all of her belongings, including her clothing. He smashed her mobile phone, slashed her purse with a knife, and then threw the items out of his SUV as he drove. He then returned home, cleaned up, and went to sleep. The following day, Jackie then created what he believed was an elaborate lie, but was instead a lie which would crumble to pieces within just days. She went on to reveal that while Jackie had cleaned his car after the murders, investigators had been able to recover some of Lisa's blood. Her DNA was also found on the hammer which had been found inside Jackie's home. She revealed that in the days leading up to the murder, Jackie had become angry with Lisa because she wasn't returning his text messages or his phone calls. While Lisa was married, it was common knowledge among those in her class that she was having an affair with her student. One co-worker at West Los Angeles College would state that in the days before the murder, Jackie and Lisa were not their usual flirty selves, and Jackie appeared to be angry. As 2022 begins, I've already started to think about my New Year's resolutions. My main one is to take better care of myself and my skin. Skincare is super important to me, and that's why I'm excited to be working with the amazing Apostrophe, whether it be breakouts, those telltale signs of aging, or even wanting to even your skin tone. Apostrophe will help achieve that glowing skin we're all searching for. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed oral and topical medications that are clinically proven to help clear acne. They connect you with a board-certified dermatologist who will create a personalized treatment plan that is perfectly tailored to your unique skin. You just fill in the online quiz take a selfie, and you will get your customized plan. It really couldn't be any easier to get set up and get the professional help that you're looking for, and they even treat all types of acne. For me personally, I needed a better morning routine and something to help target those wrinkle-prone areas. My dermatologist on Apostrophe got me set up with a gentle cleanser morning and night, a moisturiser and an Apostrophe topical cream. We have a special deal for our Morbidology listeners. Save $15 off your first visit with an Apostrophe provider at apostrophe.com/morbidology when you use the code Morbidology. This code is only available for our listeners. To get started, go to apostrophe.com/morbidology and click begin visit and then use the code Morbidology at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5. That's apostrophe.com/morbidology and use the code Morbidology to get your dermatologist craft a treatment plan for $5. And big thank you to Apostrophe for sponsoring Morbidology. Is there something interfering with your happiness, or are you apprehensive about reaching out for help? BetterHelp is here to help you and they're today's sponsor of Morbidology. BetterHelp is not self-help, it's professional counselling available to you online or over the phone. BetterHelp is more affordable and accessible than traditional offline counselling and they offer financial aid. Sadly, sometimes traditional offline counselling is not locally available for everybody, but BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. They have licensed professional counsellors specialising in a broad variety of areas, including depression, sleeping, self-esteem, grief, and much more. Everything you share with your counsellor is confidential and they are matched to your specific needs. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/morbidology. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/morbidology. Defense attorney Jeremy Latham said to the jury of 6 men and 6 women, "There's no victory for my client. This is a tragedy for all involved." He attempted to portray a different version of Lisa, telling the jury that she was manipulative and had embarrassed Jackie in public. He said that during class, Lisa would make suggestive gestures at Jackie while the other students weren't looking. Their relationship eventually turned sexual. After Jackie passed his certification, Lisa took him on a trip to Las Vegas where they slept together for the first time. According to Defense Latham, Lisa would refer to Jackie as her gay friend and would mock his appearance. He said that she also videotaped him as he cleaned her home and then showed her friends and joked about it. He said that Lisa would slap and hit Jackie on occasion, telling the jury it was torture for him. He added that Jackie didn't like Lisa partying or the fact that she took drugs or kissed strangers, but thought that if he did anything she asked, then he would be able to win her over. On the night of the murder, Defense Latham said that Jackie and Lisa had been sitting outside the restaurant when an argument ensued. He claimed that Lisa had first of all hit Jackie, and that Jackie responded by crying because he realised that the mental abuse was never going to end. He said to the jury, "He just snapped. Something broke. It all finally came crashing down." It would be the defence's argument that Jackie had been the victim of emotional abuse and had snapped, therefore making the murder not first-degree murder. Defense Latham stated, "Miss Nagel did not deserve to die. This is a tragedy." He referred to Jackie's actions that night as the act of a very damaged, very hurt person with intellectual deficits who broke down and did something he never should have done. During trial, it would be revealed that Lisa had concealed her affair by claiming to her friends and family that Jackie was gay. When they went out to dinners and went out to the bar together, nobody batted an eyelid. They simply thought that Lisa was out with a friend. Lisa, however, had confided in Jackie that she wasn't happy in her marriage. For around 6 months, she and Jackie embarked on an affair, but shortly before Lisa was killed, she had a change of heart. She wanted to try and work things out with Derek, and she wasn't quite prepared to walk away from her marriage. Derek would testify about the disappearance and the relationship with Jackie. He said that he had first of all met Jackie around 6 months earlier, when he had come home from work at 3:20 a.m. and found Jackie standing on the front porch of the home that he shared with his wife. Jackie told Derek that he was Lisa's student, and Lisa then explained that Jackie was a gay friend who she had been tutoring for an exam. Derek accepted this explanation and thought nothing of it. Prosecutors would then call on one of Lisa's co-workers, who confirmed to the jury that she had seen the hammer in Jackie's SUV twice, around a month prior to the murder. They would use this as evidence that the murder had been premeditated, that Jackie had just been waiting for the perfect moment when he had Lisa alone to kill her. Belinda Adkins told the courtroom that Jackie often came into the classroom at Lisa's request, allegedly to clean up, fold towels and move chairs. She said that the three of them had gone to lunch together around 8 times in October, November and December of 2016, and it was twice in November that she had spotted the hammer in Jackie's SUV. She told the courtroom that the first time she had seen it, it was sitting on a pillow behind the driver's seat. It immediately caught her attention because there were no other tools in the spotless car and there was no toolbox. She said to the jury that she had asked Jackie why the hammer was there and questioned whether it would be dangerous. What if Jackie needed to slam on the brakes and the hammer came hurling through to the front seat? Jackie apologised and seemingly became ruffled. He said he needed the hammer for self-defence. She saw the hammer again shortly thereafter. According to Belinda, in early December of 2016, Jackie had come into her classroom and bluntly asked her if she believed that Lisa would ever leave Derek for him. She responded by telling him it was none of her business, that it was private between him and Lisa. Jackie then showed her a video of him and Lisa kissing and said that they had been having an affair. While Belinda already knew that they were having an affair, when she asked Lisa about it, she had denied it. She said that Lisa would compliment Jackie and had been trying to help him find a job, but also said that Lisa often poked fun at Jackie. She told him he needed to get his teeth fixed and get his eyebrows waxed, and also told him to stop drinking soy milk because it had given him what she described as soy tits. She told the courtroom that it mostly appeared to be in good spirits because Jackie would mostly respond by rolling his eyes and saying something along the lines of, "See what I've got to put up with," and then he would poke Lisa in the stomach and tell her that she needed to lose weight. Belinda told the courtroom that she found it distasteful, but said that they both appeared to tease one another. Jackie would testify on his own behalf and would reiterate most of what he had said in his confession. He admitted to bludgeoning Lisa to death, but much like his defense had argued, he claimed that he was the victim of emotional abuse. He claimed that Lisa mocked his developmental disabilities and called him Lenny, after the character from Of Mice and Men. He said that he was in love with Lisa and thought that that feeling was reciprocated. Jackie said that Lisa would invite him over to her home, where he would clean and organise, and she always referred to him in front of others as her gay friend. He said that she often teased him about his appearance, and that when she was cruel, he didn't like it. He said that Lisa would make excuses for the way she treated him, telling him that she was drunk. He also told the courtroom that Lisa often used drugs, something which he didn't like, adding that she would become physically abusive, hitting him in the face on several occasions. Speaking about the night of the murder, he said that Lisa had kissed 2 women in front of him, and when he questioned her about it, she had brushed him off, calling him her little gay friend. He said that as they were parked outside the fast food restaurant, Lisa slapped him and he started to cry. He told the courtroom, "I kind of lost it." He said he became emotional and asked Lisa where their relationship was going. And then, as he said, he snapped. He claimed that when he hit Lisa with the hammer, he felt as though he had been possessed by an evil demon or spirit. According to Jackie, he then panicked and drove Lisa back to his parents' home. As he said, "Because I wasn't going to leave her out in the street or dump her in the dumpster." He said that he had lied to Lisa's family because he was ashamed of what he had done before finally coming clean to investigators. It would be revealed during trial that Jackie had been in the holding cell in jail when he flagged on Detective Cortez to make a full confession to what he had done. Under cross-examination, Jackie said that Lisa didn't see it coming when he first struck her in the head with the hammer and said he couldn't remember telling investigators that he had stopped and then hit her again when she seemed to be recovering from the first hit. He also admitted that after digging the grave, he noticed that Lisa was still moving. He said that by this point, his rage was over and he was now attempting to cover his tracks. He hit her twice more with the hammer. After his testimony, the defense would call on Dr. Timothy Collister, who would testify that Jackie had developmental delays. He said that based on two interviews as well as documentation provided to him, he reached the conclusion that Jackie had intellectual disabilities in middle school as well as high school, and that his IQ was high borderline. He said that while he had strong work ethic, his cognitive ability was below average. He diagnosed him with ADHD as well as mild paranoid personality disorder. Under cross-examination, he acknowledged that Jackie's attempts to conceal the crime scene by discarding the evidence and cleaning up showed that he had intellectual ability to premeditate the crime. The closing arguments would follow, and District Attorney Ostrowski would argue that Jackie had killed Lisa with premeditation, highlighting the fact he hit her twice in the wheelbarrow to make sure that she was dead as evidence of this. She said that this was a clear indication of first-degree murder. Defense Lessem, however, said that while Jackie was guilty of an unlawful killing, he had been provoked by Lisa and was therefore guilty of voluntary manslaughter. After deliberating for 3 days, the jury would find Jackie Jerome Rogers guilty of the first-degree murder of Lisa Marie Nagel. They had also found true the allegation that he had used a hammer. As the verdict was read aloud, Lisa's cousin, Patty Alarcon, cried and clasped her hands together in prayer. Outside of court, she said, "It's a bittersweet moment." Her mother, Dolores Nagel, said that the family had found the trial exceptionally hard due to the fact that Jackie and his defense team had tarnished Lisa's name and attempted to vilify her as an abuser. She said, "She was a very nice girl, and this Diablo took her life, and the way he did it was horrible." Her sister, Michelle Nagel, would thank the prosecutors for their work on the case, as well as the community, for their unwavering support. After the verdict, the sentencing phase would follow. Jackie would be facing a maximum possible sentence of 26 years to life. The sentencing phase would be postponed while Jackie hired a new lawyer. It began in April of 2019, and Jackie Jerome Rogers would be sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 26 years before he could apply for parole. In August of 2020, Jackie would appeal his conviction. He accused his defense attorney of ineffective assistance by failing to raise his mental competence with the court, as well as insufficient evidence to support a first-degree murder conviction. California's Second District Court of Appeal would uphold that conviction after finding that the evidence overwhelmingly supported the jury's verdict. They noted that Jackie's own testimony about the murder was substantial evidence to support the first-degree murder conviction. Lisa Marie Nagel had visions of her name being in the headlines, but never in a million years did she envision that her name would be alongside the word murder. While Jackie Jerome Rogers thought that he had committed the perfect crime, covering his tracks as he went along, he didn't take into consideration that security footage would capture him and Lisa entering his car that night. Ultimately, that would be the nail in the coffin for Jackie, and when presented with the evidence against him, he had no other option than to confess to his deadly deeds. Well, besties, that is it for this episode of Morbidology. As always, thank you so, so much for listening. I'd like to say a big, massive thank you to my amazing new Patreon supporters, Bunny, Fiona, Samantha, Zane, Nancy, and Rachel. If you'd like to support the show in exchange for some bonus goodies and content, please check out Morbidology on Patreon. I'd also like to say a special hello to one of my youngest listeners, Lincoln, who listens to the podcast with his mum, Samantha, the night before bed. A massive thank you to the legend that is Lincoln, and I hope you're settling in well at school and enjoying the show. I've been away in America for a couple of weeks, and I'm just getting back into the swing of work and catching up with my writing. I've got a few bonus episodes on Patreon coming up in the next while, because I didn't have one out in December. So if you want more Morbidology episodes, head on over there, where there's exclusive bonus episodes. I hope that everybody had an amazing festive period with their loved ones, and a happy new year. Remember to check us out at morbidology.com for more information about this episode and to read our true crime articles. Until next time, take care of yourselves, stay safe, and have an amazing week.
We were able to discover the remains of two humans.
Welcome to Crime Lapse. I am Eileen.
And I am Charlie.
Crime Lapse is a true crime podcast that uses primary audio, such as 911 calls, trial testimony, and police statements.
I'm coming to get you. I'm not on the run. I am coming to get you.
We carry out extensive, in-depth research using contemporary articles and case files.
He hid in the hollowed-out base of a double divan bed, managing to conceal himself there for 2 days.
We use emotive narration to give you an immersive insight into the darkest tales and most horrifying crimes.
Badger's at the back of the bus, packing off pieces and eating it.
Each episode details complex and obscure cases from start to finish, highlighting the aftermath and focusing on the victims.
And I have always said from day one I would rather be Gavin's mother than his.
Find Crime Lapse wherever you listen to podcasts and at Crime Lapse Podcast or Crime Lapse Pod on social media.
And we can only hope that these developments bring some measure of peace to the family.
Everyone has a story to tell. Let us tell you some.